Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here, worldwide, on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Glad to have you in here and get you an easy chair. Get your Bible, get your notebook. We're going into part three of the Master Keys to the Kingdom. We want you to stay tuned. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that we are live tonight around the world, and we're also simulcasting on your internet streaming. So we're live tonight on WWRB 3.185 and live streaming. So let them know around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we get called out of foreign countries that we're heard there in early in the morning. For instance, in Spain right now, it's way in the morning, around 2 o'clock in the morning, and people set up just to listen to the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy, and we receive emails and letters from around the country, and for that matter, around the world. London, England, also over in Ireland, and letters from Scotland, letters from Germany, and emails, and things of this nature. And it makes us feel very good that we are reaching out and touching you and your heart with the master keys to the kingdom. And we want you to know that if you love me, John 14 and 15 that we just read last session, if you love me, you will obey me and keep my commandments. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And then the Spirit will love him, and we will come to you and make our home with you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he don't make his home with you just because that you have got some kind of a tradition outside the Word that the Word won't verify. He loves you because you really love his Word. His Word is the most powerful instrument on the earth. By his Word, the heavens was created. John 1 and 7 says, if we walk in the light, we can receive forgiveness of sins, and we don't stumble. So walking in the light of what? The light of his Word. Now the Bible says that they that love darkness more than light. In other words, that's people that love their traditions or their sayings, just because it sounds good and it tickles the ear and soothes your feeling and gives you a good, warm, fuzzy navel feeling, don't actually mean that it's of Yahweh. Yahweh is a hard saying, and who can hear it? So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings, the word that we have passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by the letters written in the Scriptures, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. And you have heard from me, and keep the pattern that I have delivered unto you of sound teaching with faith and love in the Messiah, 2 Timothy 1:13. So then, you can see that if you obey these Scriptures and keep his Word, then his word is not grievous. This is how we know that we love or are the children of the Creator, Yahweh, by carrying out his commandments. Now, when you preach his commandments, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to go alien to the world. The world's not going to receive it because his ways are not the world's ways. As heaven is higher than the earth, so is Yahweh's ways and his word. You see, these people that collectively try to interpret his word on a carnal level. But his word has to be interpreted with the spiritual foundation. That's why the Messiah said, these that cannot hear the gospel are the people that have eyes to see and can't see, and ears to hear and can't hear. Therefore, the gospel is hid to them that's lost. So the master keys are hid. Now let me make this in as much emphasis as I can place upon this. I want to make sure that you understand and you know that The gospel is hid, H-I-D. And they struggle, and the Messiah said, you will seek me, but you won't find me. You know why? They seek him through, oh yeah, they fast, they pray like the Pharisees did, they do good deeds, and they compass land and the sea, and they go into these bell boxes. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the master keys of salvation is for you to come out of the bell box? And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what in the world is a bell box? That's a church with a steeple on it. That when you see one of those, you know it's nothing but a contrived bell box assembly that's going to teach you the basic fundamental doctrine of that which seems right. And the Bible says in Proverbs, there is, in 16th chapter, there is a way, 16:25, there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. Now, if you want fellowship with the Father, 1 John 1 and 6, you can't have fellowship with Him unless you are doing what He says. You cannot please even yourself to please Yahweh. You've got to come out of yourself. Every man's way seems right in his own eye. But you need to examine yourself if you're walking in the light according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Now, in Romans 8 and 4, listen, we cannot say that we know God and have fellowship with Him unless we are keeping His commandments. And that's the litmus test, ladies and gentlemen, to someone that's got the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people would criticize you if you're a commandment keeper. I've had people say, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, shun that. You ain't got the Holy Ghost now, Pastor Buddy. You need to go to the altar and pray till you get endued with power from on high. Folks, the Word is the power. The Word. Did you know in John chapter, or in Acts chapter 5, that they beat the apostles and they counted it worthy to be beaten on the Messiah's behalf? I've had guns pulled on me. I've had knives pulled on me for preaching this gospel now. I have been attacked verbally. I have been backbitten by even the brothers of my own faith. Criticizes my teaching, but when I come in their midst, that criticism ceases. Because I command the authority of the Word. And I'm ready to put my life against any man's life. That I am preaching the gospel according to the kingdom and striving to enter in at the straight gate by keeping His commandments. Now, one of the things that people like, we're going to discuss this, and we're talking about kingdom keys to the principles of the master key. One of those are the art of altar building. Did you know that it was a common practice? Not a church house practice now. Church houses come in after the art of altar building ceased. Now, why did it cease? Unbelief. They wanted to go the way of the pagan. The harlot church developed a paganistic principle of December the 25th, Christmas, Easter, hams in the oven, and all this. And I've done preached about that, so I don't have to go in that to show you. That ain't the master key. Just because you go to the Easter service and you say you kept Passover, you are lying. And just because you won't kill a lamb at Passover, which is instructed for you to kill and never was done away with, never was. According to the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, you are to do this forever. In remembrance. Not the Lord's Supper. Did you know that John 13 and 1 wasn't the Passover meal that they were eating, that everybody says, well, he ate the Passover meal. And it clearly tells you it was 2 days before the Passover that they were meeting. That was the last common meal that he had. He didn't eat the Passover, ladies and gentlemen. He was the Passover. And you say, well, since he was the Passover, we don't have to do it no more. Well, why were they doing it? Why was the apostles... Why were they keeping it in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts when when Paul said, I must keep this feast that comes, and then he observed the days of unleavened bread, which Luke 22:1 says is the Passover. And many apostolic instances that I could name to you, and I don't name these, especially because I wait for these starchy britches preachers. They think they're so smart and they want to call you out and challenge you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that the word, W-R-D, not some shimmy shaker, not some undertaker spirit. Most of these look like they're henpecked. They got a skirt for their covering instead of the Holy Spirit. Some skirt tail directs them and tells them when to go and when to come, and they're under the authority of some woman spirit dominating to let them get up and bark like a bulldog. When her husband has to sit and take, when a man of Yahweh, when he steps into the meeting with the word, the W-O-R-D, the logos, the word made flesh, the authority behind his word. And don't you think for one minute that Yahweh won't back his word if you are a believer in his word. Now, if you want to be mealy-mouthed, spineless, wishy-washy, here today and over there tomorrow, chasing after some silly woman laden with sin, and have a church where they run instead of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we got so much of this muckly-duke church house steeple crap. And even some of these houses that don't have a steeple on it, you know. Some of them read the Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, and you all ought to get you a book written by Alexander Hislop. The Two Babylons and the pagan nature that came with it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get forgiveness of sins, you have to have a godly sorrow. It is a sorrow toward the Creator. Now, you didn't commit any sin before you ever came in this world. How did you commit any sin? The sin is the original sin of disobedience from the very garden passed on to the Adamic race. Only the Adamic race. The Bible is written not to the world. He didn't tell you to love the world and go out and evangelize the world. When he said go into all the world and preach this gospel, he was meaning for you to go only to the lost sheep, the 13 tribes scattered abroad. That's who the Bible is for. Let me show you something here. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, Paul did not judge himself justified in his own righteousness. Don't you know that Yahweh reveals the hidden things in man's lives and the motives of their hearts? And I have a discerning of the Spirit. When I walk into a congregation, and if there's a preacher up there that is not anointed with the Holy Spirit, although he's claiming he's got it, the Spirit will deal with me quickly and give me the verse of Scripture and give me identity of what's in that man's life. I have that gift because that's why I don't fear any man. I only fear Yahweh. I fear not to obey Him and to preach His gospel. Now, I understand that the gospel being hid to them that's lost is only revealed to them that has got a spirit that knows the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Now, notice this. In James 2:14, it says that we need to have faith toward God. But he says in 2:14 that faith alone cannot save us. The faith has to be based on performance. Faith without works is dead. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, now I went to the altar and glory to God and I got the Holy Ghost. Well, if you got the Holy Ghost, then you ain't got no problem. You're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You're kept by the power of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is so truthful that people would judge you insane if you was to do everything that the Holy Ghost told you to do. And to say everything that the Holy Ghost give you to say in His Word. That's the difference. And still yet, men want to go along with their tradition. Oh, well, you know, they mean good. Hell's filled and the road is paved with people that meant to do good. It's these do-gooders that have turned the truth of Yahweh into, actually, they've turned it into a form of godliness, denying the power of that word that breaks a bone. When you speak the word with authority, you watch these silly women jump up and get out of the church. They run plumb outside. I've had them to run plumb outside and pull their hair. You know what? Because there's a man in the pulpit that their feminine spirit can't control. That they can't charm you like a snake charming a bird. With their filthy deeds and their filthy abominations as they carry on their tradition and you speak against it. What about Alder Bill and Pastor Buddy? I mentioned that there is a way that seems right. Proverbs 16:25. A way that seems right. But the end thereof is death. What about an altar? Where are we supposed to build one? Well, let's go to the Bible for just a moment and I'll give you a few references on how to build an altar. Now, we've got a special altar presentation that we make free only to those who inquire. Those who want to keep His commandments. In John, or in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, listen. I say unto you, this is the Messiah speaking, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees fasted twice a week. Have you ever fasted 40 days? Have you ever fasted 3 weeks at a time? Have you ever fasted with no pleasant bread? No coffee, no tea, no Coca-Colas. Just a little sip of water for 40 days and for 40 nights. Have you ever done that? There's people that's done it, it's made no difference because it just drove them deeper into tradition. But for those who are sincerely wanting to get to the truth and exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, some of them just become righteous Pharisees with the ability to point the finger at you and accuse you of not having the Holy Ghost. When I preach the Masoreth, people tell me that I'm preaching witchcraft. And it's in Job 38, verse 21, that Yahweh proclaimed a Masoreth to Job and asked him if he could make one. Well, happens to be, ladies and gentlemen, that the Masoreth is a circle. It just so happens to be that there's 12 constellations in that circle. It just so happens to be that there's 12 tribes in the house of Jacob. And so then, when the Israelites crossed over into the land of milk and honey in Yahshua in Hebrew, chapter 5, verse 19, they went in on the 10th day of the month. Now, the 10th day is symbolic of the time you put up the lamb, and in tabernacles, it is the atonement day. Oh, it just fits like a hand in a glove of your spiritual understanding. You've got to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You want to go to heaven? Love Yahweh and keep His commandments. Not, I guarantee you that 99% of the people listening to me tonight has never built them an altar, according to the Bible. Did you know that when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, this is symbolic of crossing the river of life. And the first thing they done when they got into the river was that they reached down in by the command of Yahweh. Now this is Yahweh's commandment. And did you know that the Bible talks about Yahweh's ways being foolishness to man? He commanded those priests when they took the ark and held it over the water, it dried up the waters. It pushed them back just like the Red Sea when Moses was led out of Egypt. And then when 40 years later, it was a symbolic gesture of parting the Red Sea or the Sea of Life when they entered in by keeping his commandments. And the first thing he told them in the middle of the river, this is right in the middle of the river, stop. I command you to stop. And the Bible said the water stood still. And the priest stood still. And he spoke to Moses and said, or to Joshua and said, tell the priest to choose 12 stones. Select them carefully now. Choose 12 stones and put them up on their shoulders and take them to a place called the Heavenly Circle. I'll give you the word just in a minute. Go up to a place called Gilgal. The word Gilgal in Strong's is symbolic of a heavenly circle. He said to place these stones in a circle. Now, confirmation, 1 Kings chapter 18. When he went up on the mountain to confront the Babylonian system of Jezebel, this harlot whore church system, symbolic of Jezebel, who was a rebel that I've been speaking about, a spirit of the feminine goddess, as they take over the church worship. Ladies and gentlemen, no, Yahweh never called a woman to preach anywhere. It is men that are given the gift to hurl the gospel, because a woman is unclean. According to the gospel, once a month she's in her period and she sheds blood, and therefore she's unclean. And she shouldn't take the altar. And notice, she can't wear breeches. The priest wore breeches. And a lot of these women have taken to wearing the breeches, whether they got a dress on or not. Wearing a dress don't make you holy. Ladies and gentlemen, if your heart is not right with Yahweh, you can put a dress on and let it drag the floor, and that don't make you holy. And that's the gospel truth. And I don't want to get on that subject because I'm saving that, because I'm going to preach on the place of a holy woman in the assembly of the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says versus man and woman, where their rightful church is. So, notice this. Verse 21. You have heard it said of the ancients of times past in the gospel, you will do no murder. But whosoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Exodus 20:13. Deuteronomy 5:17. It is strange that Deuteronomy 5:17 and Matthew 5:17 is the same verse verbatim that the Messiah quoted in the Gospel of Matthew. But I say unto you, everyone being enraged at his brother without a cause will be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, you fool, will be in danger of the high council. And whoever says, you worthless fool, will be in danger of hell, of the fire, or the fiery hell. That is Matthew in chapter 5, verse 21. And you have heard it said, you will not commit adultery. Exodus 20:14 and Deuteronomy 5:18. But I say unto you, everyone that looketh upon a woman in order to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. And they some that says, well, I never went out on my wife and we're still together. Yet they lust after every woman that they see, or anyone that turns them on. Ladies and gentlemen, there's ways to commit adultery more than going out on your wife. some of these women are so starchy and so bossy that their husbands are driven outside to seek the favor of a woman. Ladies and gentlemen, to be a wife, I'm going to teach you some of the things that a wife should be to measure up to the gospel, and it takes a woman to measure up. You can't be half-hearted, half in and half out, or you can't be a bossy or a brawling or a control. The Bible says it's better for a man to live on a housetop than in a house with a brawling and a contentious woman. And about 90% of the homes I visit is run by a woman. And a man has no authority. He has to say, honey, can we do this? And honey, can we do that? And if you make a suggestion to go to do something for Yahweh, the man has to get up and ask his wife if he can go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love house, wife, children, yea, even your own life, you can't be his disciple. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. For by your words you will be justified. I know when a man rules the house. I can feel it. Justice, and I'm not saying a man should beat his wife and push her under the bed. Ladies and gentlemen, a man of Yahweh will love his wife, and a woman will have so much love for that man because he's a man of Yahweh. If she's got the Holy Spirit, and she's connected, and she knows who the head of the house is, and the Bible says that the woman has a head. And that's the man. And man has a head, and that's Yahweh. So Yahweh's head is supposed to be on the man, and the woman's head is supposed to be the man. That's the way it works. But when I walk into a house and there's two heads stuck out there, and a woman's tongue is a-flapping, and she rules the roost, and she wants to argue about every scripture that's being taught, or something controversial that she don't understand, and Yahweh's hid it from her, well then, you got a problem in that household. Ladies and gentlemen, I know. I've been in this for a long time, and I know the Spirit. The Bible said, try it. By your words you shall be justified. Matthew 12, 37. And by your words you will be condemned. It's out of your heart that you speak. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes. It's not some rattling, shaking tongue that you don't understand. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That is a pretense most of the time. Now, there is an unknown tongue that's in the nine spiritual gifts. It's called the gift of tongues. But it is manifest and made known by the other gifts operating in the church, or the Bible says, for you to keep silent. Because no man understands you. And so if you want to edify, get your interpretation ready. And I've seen so much of this artificial stuff, and the reason that I preach against this is because everybody says in the holiness movement, oh, you've got to have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues to go to heaven. You don't have to have that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what you've got to have. You've got to have a heart that has been circumcised to keep His Word and obey His commandments and speak the truth. That's exactly what you've got to have. And anything less won't do. And anything more is beyond what he said. And if you climb up some other way, you're going to be cast down. There's going to be tongues, but they're going to cease. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want something that'll cease. You want something to live long on after you leave here. And that's the works that follow you. And if you've obeyed the Word, then by your Word you're justified. And if you've not obeyed the Word, then that Word condemns you. And that's the gospel truth, ladies and gentlemen. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. Now listen to me. As we go on here, this is verse 33 now of Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. That means that you were saved from the foundation of the world with your name on the Lamb's book. And if you got your name on the Lamb's book, your tree is good, and eventually you're going to hear the gospel, and eventually you're going to repent, and eventually you're going to turn to Yahweh, and you're going to do those works that please Him. But if the tree is bad, now notice this, or if the tree or the fruit is bad, then the tree is bad. Notice that. You brood of vipers. Verse 34. How are you able to be speaking good things? You see, they were doing that back in the days of John. Oh, yeah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, oh, they spoke good. Oh, we are the elders of the high officials. We wear long robes. And for a pretense, we make long prayers. That's what Yahweh said. And, you know, I've seen some of these hypocrites. They think they're heard for their much speaking, and if they can say a nice prayer, and you know it's not out of the heart, it's out of their mind that they're trying to impress people with. Ladies and gentlemen, the way you impress me is how much Bible have you got in your heart? How much word do you obey? Not what you say, but what you do. You're known by your works. You are rewarded for those works by justification through faith, that not of yourself. The good person, verse 35, out of the treasure or the good treasure within him brings forth good things. And the evil person out of the evil treasure within him brings forth evil things. I say unto you, every idle or careless word that people speak, they will give an account concerning it in the day of judgment. For verse 37 again, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, the full of the Word, you don't have to guess where it's at. You didn't forget it. It's in you. It's in your spirit. You are the Word made flesh. The Word's coming out of you. You're alive and well with the Word. It's fervent. When you hear false, rotten stuff come out of people's mouth, you will rebuke it. You won't compromise and drop your head, and although you don't agree with it. If you don't agree with it, stand up and be a man or a woman and say you don't agree with it. Don't be a hypocrite. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you're just too hard. Glory to God. How hard do you think it's going to be to get into the kingdom of heaven? Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of a Pharisee. They fasted twice a week, ladies and gentlemen. That didn't make them right because they fasted. But he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that, you ain't going to get in. So you got some crawling and clawing to get into the kingdom. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Matthew 19, verse 16 through 22. And look, when someone approached him and said, good teacher, or good master in Hebrew, what good thing will I have to do to have eternal life? This is what he said to him. But he said, he didn't say go speak in tongues. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, you go up to the altar and pray, and you go up to the church house, and you give the pastor your hand, and you join the assembly, and you can be a disciple of Christ. He didn't say that. Here's what he said. Notice this, Matthew 16, or 19, 16, verse 22. And he said, why call me good? Why call me good? There is not a righteous person, no, not one. Romans 3:10. And Romans 3 and 10, Paul was quoting out of Matthew 14 and 1, and he talked about your righteousness being as filthy rags. You know what? You know what a sanitary napkin is? That's what David was expressing. From a woman's vagina. He compared your righteousness to that filthy rag. Who are you to compare yourself being worthy to do something unless Yahweh commands you to do it? Or who are you to say something unless Yahweh commands you to say it? Now notice what he says here. And he says, except there is one good, and that is your Creator. But if you desire to enter into life, now listen to this. If you really want to enter in. You can't enter in without the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to take the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now notice what it says. Here it is. Keep my commandments. Matthew 16, verse 22 of chapter 19. And he said unto him, the man replied back, which one? Yeah, ain't that just like the devil? And we know that in the book, there is an estimated 613 of these laws that are expressed for you to keep. And you'll know a law keeper. You'll know somebody that's striving like building an altar instead of building a church house and a steeple. Ladies and gentlemen, there is so many things that are defiled. When Elijah went up on the mountain, you know what he done? The Bible said the Baal's prophets was up on a platform. And that's where prophets like to be, because that puts them up high and that exalts them in front of the congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the greatest messages I ever heard was preached out of the back seat of a preacher that came in, or a witness that came in and got anointed and preached the message from the back instead of the front. Here, Elijah went up there, and the prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L, L-O-R-Ds, these was Lord worshippers, Baal worshippers, and they were up on a platform, and you know what old Elijah done? He never did get on that platform. He didn't get up there and make himself a big preacher, although he was fixing to have a showdown at OK Corral, and that's what we need. We need these lying preachers. Instead of going behind your back, they need to call Pastor Buddy up and challenge me to a debate on some of these kingdom master keys to get into the kingdom. About which day the Sabbath is, and which one the Bible can tell you exactly which day the Sabbath is. It tells you what day it is. It identifies the Sabbath day as the eighth day. And yet the Gregorian calendar, which was invented by a Roman Catholic Pope, that these Saturday worshipers keep. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the seventh-day calendar, and it's wrong according to the Bible, because the Bible had an eight-day calendar. And, of course, they don't have one for it. The Pope forgot to put in the eighth day. You know why? Because he didn't go by the Bible anyway. He went by the Gregorian formula to deceive the whole world. And then the Seventh-day Adventists jump on the Catholic and criticize them for changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Both of them is wrong in that case. Neither one of them is the Sabbath. It is a lie of the devil and the serpent's mouth. And it came right out of the serpent's mouth. And those that are deceived by it are not wise. And he said, come out of her, my people. You want to know what the Bible's got to say about it? Well, get in the commandments and keep his word. He that keeps my commandments. Well, the fourth commandment, which is the rest commandment, said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What day was it? Well, they rested on the eighth day. If you go to Ezekiel 46:1, it gives you the formula right there. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't keep a Sabbath if you work 6 days. Well, the new moon, and that's what he said in 46:1, keep the new moon. Oh, they don't keep that now. Now, these Seventh-day Adventists, they advocate the seventh day on the Gregorian calendar. Well, we know it's on Saturday because the Catholic changed the Sabbath day, and that was God's holy day. The Catholic didn't a bit more know what the first day of creation was any more than these false prophets that's trying to preach and say they did. When a man tells you that the Sabbath is on Saturday, specifically on that weekday that we worship hanging on a wall, it'd be very simple to go down and get you a Roman Catholic calendar and say, well, today's the Sabbath, glory to God. And you know, I kept the Saturday Sabbath for a long time until the Holy Ghost began to reveal to me and others as well the teaching of the lunar calendar. And everybody says, well, the lunar calendar is false, and I'm just waiting for somebody to challenge me on this. Well, I'm challenging you. Anytime you want to bring the Seventh-day Sabbath up and to present it to the people as a living gospel, then I'm going to ask you where it's at. I'm going to ask you in the Bible where the Roman Catholic calendar says that Saturday is the Sabbath. Of course, you can't read that. You can read where they kept the new moon and started to count from the new moon. You can read that. That is a Bible calendar. You want to know where the Bible calendar is? In the Bible. And if you want His Word, search His Word, obey His Word. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when it says honor your father and mother, who is your father and who is your mother? The one that gave you the commandment. And the young man says, well, I've kept all these from my youth up. When the father went a little deeper into the commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that Yahweh, Yeshua, the Savior, Yahweh the Savior, that's what that means. And don't get carried away that I'm speaking about two gods, because that's out of the 24th chapter of your imagination also. There's not two gods. The devil believes in one, and if you believe in two, you got one more than the devil's got. And it's for sure the devil knows who that one God is. And he's no figment of the imagination, and his word is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that in verse 25 of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, his disciples, hearing him, were extremely amazed, saying, well, in this case, who can be saved? But the Messiah said, with you, or people, it's impossible, but with the Creator, all things are possible. Now, who can be saved? Those that's got their names on the Lamb's Book and Foundation, and it's a good tree. Who's going to be lost? Those that don't have their names on the Lamb's Book. That is not a good tree. That's as simple as I can make it. And who's going to be saved? The house of Israel. All of Israel. But all that says they're Israel is not Israel. You see, there's a lie. These people that claim to be Israel or Jews and are not. Revelation 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9. And you say, well, I don't know any. I know all of God's people are Jews and all them's God's chosen people. And you better not speak against them. Well, the Messiah spoke against them. He said, I know them and say they are, but they ain't. And if you get to really studying in the gospel, you'll find it out. And the best way you can get this understanding is get on a circle altar that Elijah. Now, let me show you something here. Talking about altars, and I'll preach on this exclusively one day and show you how to build an altar or give you the context to build an altar. And then, if you are interested, we'll give you the diagram and the keys to the kingdom. This is what we're all about. Giving you master keys to the kingdom. You've got to have an altar to pray on. You've got to have an altar offer up on. You say, well, I've got one over at the church house, glory to God. Yeah, it's got a platform and a steeple just like Elijah confronted him. What kind of altar? Now pray tell me, in the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, and you go there, and you read, and I pray that you tell me what kind of an altar that Elijah repaired and got the miracle on. Did he go up on the platform? The answer is no. Matter of fact, he laughed at that. He mocked it. And you say, well, that man didn't have the Holy Ghost. You know, if I come in and mock all this mockery, this pretense of salvation, these people that's running the aisles and bothered exercising them and trying to shun-die you and speak you down or call you down, or these silly women are jumping up and laying hands on you and trying to set you down. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had those type of people to deal with all of my life, and especially the last 50 years of my ministry. Last 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to know something, whether it's the truth. Elijah said, hey, call a little louder. Maybe he's on a vacation. You say, well, now that's not God. That's not the God. Really? You don't believe Elijah was a man that was anointed and full of the Holy Ghost? And just because he mocked the bailbox preachers and spoke evil of them? Ladies and gentlemen, you don't compromise with the devil, and Elijah was a man that was laying his life. He knew that if he lost this contest on Mount Carmel, He knew that if he lost it, he would die a swift and a sudden death. And so everything that was in him was put on the line. And everything in you, if you're not willing to lay your life on the line and stand for the word, the Bible said that Elijah repaired the altar and dug a trench around about the altar. So it was a round altar. And the Bible said he took 12 stones. I wonder why he took 12 stones and put on an altar. You got a stone? You got an altar like that? Ain't many people in the United States or the world, for that matter, that even knows how to put an altar together, because they won't do it because they think it's witchcraft. The devil has got them so deceived and so ignorant and so stupid and unlearned that they fail to look at these things and practice these things and keep Yahweh's commandments. And ladies and gentlemen, it's just as easy as ABC. Matter of fact, I talked to a brother just a few minutes before we came on the air. And he went over to some of our other brothers and sisters, and he laid out an altar for them and placed the 12 stones in a circle. This is the altar that that these brothers and sisters and their invited guests, you don't want nothing unclean on it. You don't want no strangers on it either. You don't want none of those that are not racial covenant of the house of Israel. You say, oh, now, God's made all of us of one blood, Acts 17. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 26. You better go back there and see that the King James Bible is in error. That word is not in the blood. The word blood has been added. Yahweh has not made us all one blood. That's why he said to keep yourself unspotted from the world and not to commit adultery, to adulterate the blood, that's what that means, and cross it with another race. Yahweh is only particularly interested in one family in the earth. Of you, one family have I chosen in the earth. Now, this may be hard gospel, and I am not going to sugarcoat it and hand it out to you and present it to where it'll tickle your ears, and you will call me on the phone and send me a love offer. I could care less about you calling me on the phone. If you never call me, so be it. If you ever never acknowledge this gospel, I know why. Because it's hid to those that's lost. Now, if you are a lover of His Word, and you want to get into the truth, and you want to build you an altar, and you want to do it according to the Word, and not according to the tradition of the Baal prophets that build a platform altar, which is in every Baal box church with a steeple on it, which represents the vagina of a woman and a penis of a man. That's as simple as I can make it. And if you want to go to that type of church, and if you want to put a ham in your oven for Ishtar and worship the goddess Ishtar, you go ahead and do that. You have at it. You have you a great time, and you just have at it all you want. You fill your belly with swine's flesh, and you make merry, and you drink, and you eat, for tomorrow you die, and tomorrow you perish. Now, you want to know what type of Sabbath he's going to keep? It's very simple. And these idiotic preachers that deny this word, these foolish shepherds, these blind, foolish shepherds that preach against this doctrine of Isaiah 66, verse 22 through 24. Now let me quote what it says. In that day, this is millennial kingdom to come set up on the planet. In that day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells what? The riffraff? The wicked trees? No. Wherein dwelleth righteousness, and from one. You want to really know what kind of counter you're going to keep? You lying dogs, you concision that have barked out these illegal commands and brought in your tradition that you can't prove an international dateline to confirm the Gregorian calendar? That is about as stupid as anybody can get. That's asinine. That borders on insanity. Isaiah 66, 22-23. From one new moon to the other, the Sabbath. Now, new moon. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1. from one new moon, work 6 days and keep a Sabbath. Now, pray tell me, if you count the new moon, then you can work 6 days, what day would you keep a Sabbath on? It would always be on the eighth day. Then if you practice that, the next day would be on, the Sabbath would be on the 15th. That's a full moon. So the cycles of the moon, first quarter, full moon, and your third quarter, and then your final phase. That's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. It's as simple as falling off a log, but people have trouble with it simply because they've been blinded by the concision. Those that circumcise you and want to give you a piece of traditional meat for you to chew on. Well, now, you know Saturday is the Sabbath, Pastor Buddy. That's the seventh day. Who? By whom? By who said it? By whom? If you count the first work day and after the new moon, you don't count it. It would be the seventh day Sabbath. But the Bible describes it as the eighth day when they worshiped and kept a holy covenant. And ladies and gentlemen, and we've got these bold lion dogs that stand up and try to give you another Sabbath to keep, and they won't be any other Sabbath. You can be assured. Other than what Yahweh said, from the new moon, from one new moon to the Sabbath. Alright, from the new moon to the Sabbath is 8 days. With 6 working days in between, and so it would be the seventh day if you kept it from the first work day and you counted 6 work days and you kept the Sabbath, it'd be on the 8th day. How simple is that? How much mathematics do you need to figure? Duh, go figure. Elijah repaired the altar. Ladies and gentlemen, Moses built an altar. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27. The Bible says they took 12 stones and built an altar in 27. And they also had an altar up there to curse on. You ever seen anybody get on an altar and curse their enemies? Well, no, I don't believe in cursing anybody, Pastor Buddy. Well, see, that's why you're all tied up in tradition. If you don't curse your enemies and come out from among them and be separate and holy, you ain't going to make the grade. Israel, up on the mountain, had a cursing altar according to the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Read it. And they had a blessing altar. They had 6 tribes to bless and 6 tribes to curse. And ladies and gentlemen, that blessing and cursing pact still exists today in people that know the truth. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I've got to get off here. My time is coming gone. So I've got to close this out. But I've got to give you this last scripture as we read here in the book of the Gospel of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and one sit upon it. Not two, or not three. One sat upon it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, having stood before the throne. The scrolls were open. That's the books, ladies and gentlemen. Not your tradition open. Not December the 25th. Not a ham in the oven and to replace the lamb. And we got these weak-kneed, silly preachers that say, oh, we don't kill a lamb no more. And that's sacrifice. Well, do you eat hamburgers? Well, no. What do you eat? You eat lettuce? That's sacrifice. Anything you eat, according to Deuteronomy 12 and 13, that you had to eat it in 3 days or it's spoiled, that's sacrifice. You had to eat your sacrifice. Everybody thinks that all Israel done was pile up a bunch of sheep and goats and heifers and throw them all in a big pile and burn them and let Yahweh smell the smoke. That's ridiculous. When he said to kill the lamb as a memorial forever and teach it to your children. Well, I'm still teaching it to mine. And you ought to be teaching it to yours if you want to keep the commandments. If you don't, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to stand before him. And you're going to be judged according to the 20th chapter of Revelation 11 through 13. I've got to close. Ladies and gentlemen, notice our Passover. We keep the second Passover, and if anybody would like to know why we keep the second Passover,
There is no evidence that the Messiah died. We got $5,000 for anybody that can prove that the Messiah died in the first of Passover. Now we're not going to call anybody. If you're Mr. Wright, then you've got the answer. You give us book, verse, and chapter, and call us after the show, and we'll see exactly what you've got. Give me book, verse, and chapter where the Messiah died in the first Passover. Now I'm going to give you a scripture where he lived in the first Passover. If I can give you a scripture or two where he lived, and I can give you three for that matter, if I can give you those three that he was still living on the 15th day of the first Passover, but that he did die on a Passover, he would have had to die in the second one. Now, if he died in the second one, which one do you want to keep in remembrance of him? See, this is a deeper revelation. We got people that kill the lamb and do it on the first Passover. But they ain't got no scripture to coincide with the death of the Messiah. They're keeping the wrong Passover. And a matter of fact, all Israel, when they were congregated 2,000 years ago, the Messiah and all of the others kept the Passover at Jerusalem. You couldn't keep it at Bethel. You couldn't keep it at Shiloh. You couldn't keep it down in the southern part of Judah. You couldn't keep it up in Zebulun and the northern Israel. You had to go to Jerusalem. That was in traveling distance for the whole house of Israel. Everybody had to go there. And so the Jews recognized that of Matthew 26 and verse 1, and they agreed not to kill him on their Passover. That was the first one, ladies and gentlemen. They were keeping the first one. They agreed not to kill him. They didn't want to kill him because they feared the people because there was too many people there. But they had a good idea of when to kill him. They branded him unclean because he raised Lazarus from the dead. And by justification, they had Jewish witnesses there, according to the 11th chapter of the book of John. And they had those there to say that he was there raising up Lazarus. And he also had a meal with Simon the leper, which was another violation. And to make himself unclean. And they branded him unclean, and he had to come back 30 days later to the exact date of the 14th and be the Passover lamb in the second Passover. Now that's just a revelation of what we're trying to teach you here and some of the mysteries that are brought forth by anointed Holy Ghost. Not by some jibber-jabber, not by some shaking and bodily motion, but by the truth of the spoken word of Yahweh. Do we preach that? Now, ladies and gentlemen, for you that say that the Messiah was a Jew, well, we got a little reward for you if you can read that. We just want book, verse, and chapter, and then we're going to give you the genealogy of the true Messiah and show you what tribe he was from. It may surprise some of you. So then, build an altar for the master keys to the kingdom. Build an altar and get right with Yahweh. Well, I've got to get off here. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is already come and gone. Just write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And if you would like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you next Monday night.